Hello.
Hey, dude.
What's up, man?
What's going on with you?
Just chilling. How are you?
I'll be good. Be good. Hey, I went ahead and hit the record button.
All right, sweet. So don't go on any of them rants.
I was about to. let me go ahead and just kick this thing off. Oh, man, let me get these headphones set down. You know, and I'm sure I can turn it off. You probably know exactly what and where to go. But the one thing that I hate about recording off of Audacity,
yes,
is the playback. And I know it's got to be just a setting to where I don't have to hear the playback.
There's a way to do that, but I forget how off the top of my head now. Because I've had that problem in the past, too.
Because, I mean, even, you know, imagine like hearing a 15-second delay on the conversation. But then, if you're trying to record music, man, a 15-second delay of something you've already played.
Oh, it drives you insane, especially when you're trying to, like, overdub or anything like that, where you're trying to, like, put a guitar bit in where you've already, it's awful. There is a way to do that, though. I think, like, all right, you know, like, on the top, like, there's where the levels are, and there's, like, an input level.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a little picture of a microphone. I think there's, like, a little picture of, like, headphones or speakers or something.
Yeah, there's
like
a speaker.
Click that and see. Because there's something about playback. There's a playback. I know there's a record option, but there's also, like, a playback thing.
There's a refresh rate.
You can't do it while you're recording.
Oh, yeah, so.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Well.
I'll be honest with you, I don't like wearing headphones no way.
No, I'm the same way. Like, it's weird. Like, did you ever play any online games growing up?
Yeah, but I didn't wear headphones then, dude.
Yeah, no, I was always, like, out of the fucking computer speakers guy. Like, I never liked wearing the headphones.
I didn't want to hear. I didn't care what anybody on that game had to say. I was just trying to play.
Yeah, like, I never did, like, just talk to randoms. Like, you know how some people would do that with, like, Counter-Strike lobbies and stuff?
Yeah, that's an odd thing to do, man.
But if I had, like, friends on and stuff, like, you know, through Discord or... You know, back in the day, it was TeamSpeak.
Okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense if you're playing with the boys, for sure.
Yeah, that was fun. Like, honestly, if there was a way to go back and play, like, the first Call of Duty Black Ops online still, like, with the boys, with the fucking headphones in and stuff, be able to talk back and forth like that,
I'll tell you what I would go back to, man. This was like... just before everything went online. But split screening Halo 2 and just running those two split screens between a door.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, this is back. This is back, you know, middle school, high school. You're barely not old enough to drive. And all the boys are meeting up on Friday night at David's house to play Halo 2 all night.
See, I wish we were Halo kids. Like, my friend group, like, I liked Halo, don't get me wrong, but my friend group was either all Call of Duty, or we used to play a lot of Smash Bros.
Okay.
I never really liked, but they all played, so, you know.
Wasn't a Smash Bro guy.
Yeah, just wasn't for me.
That's an odd thing.
I do like a good bit of Street Fighter, though. Street Fighter's great.
Some of those fighting games, I think, at least it's this way for me, is like, take Street Fighter, is the amount of fun that I have, like, player versus computer and player versus person, is a totally different experience. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like playing your brother at college football or Madden, you know? If you get your ass whooped all the time, you're like, you know what, I think I'm done here.
Yeah, it's not fun anymore. I remember being a little kid and playing college football with my uncle. And he just whooped my ass. I'm like, dude, I'm 6 years old. I don't know what a dime package is. Like, you're killing me. Like, you know, it's not even fun.
It is for him.
Yeah.
he's doing the triple option, flea flicker, what is it, the ratification of Puerto Rico on you.
And I'm like, how do I pick a run play?
Yeah. Dime nickel, well, hell, a dime's worth more. Let's go with that.
Right. That makes more sense, yeah. Shotgun, those are good. Shotgun has to be good.
Yeah. Ooh, ace. You know, I like cards.
Right. speaking of college football now, it's coming back.
Yeah. I think Cobb said it best, man. He said, if that game doesn't inspire me to get back into playing console video games, I'm done.
Yeah, nothing will. Like, that will be the one. And that it better be good. If EA drops the ball on this, like, forget it.
Well, I mean, I don't know what it was about college football and Madden, but college football was just, it was just better to me.
Yeah. It always, well, I think they had different producers. Like, even though it was both made by EA Sports, like, I think a different team made the college games versus the Madden games.
Yeah, and it's crazy. Like, I remember at that time, it's kind of funny how it all shook down, because 2K always made a better basketball game, and then EA Sports made a better football game. Well, most sport games in general, but the only one EA, and I guess probably 2K bought the exclusive contract with the NBA, but like, I always noticed it didn't seem like EA was making basketball games, or if they were, they just weren't as good.
No, because they made those NBA Live games, and they were never great.
Yeah, and then like, you think about 2K college football, man, it was garbage.
Yeah. Like, now they did make a 2K, like, I forget which one it was. I know it was for the PlayStation 2, but they made like a 2K version of Madden that was pretty fun.
Hey, does, when it comes to MLB, does 2K, do they do the show?
No, that's actually Sony.
How about that? And that's probably the best, that's probably the best baseball.
Yeah. Without a doubt. No, the show kicks the shit out of, I guess it is 2K. Because I don't think EA makes an MLB game.
Yeah, dude. I tell you, though. I tried to get in. Like, we just got Elden Ring back fired up on the console. And, man, I've been trying to get myself geared up to play it. But it's like, every time I start, like, sinking, let's say I get 10 hours, 15, 20 hours invested, I was like, man, that's 20 hours I could have put into anything else.
No, that's how I am, like, nowadays. Like I can't, like, I even hate watching movies, because I'm like, oh, I feel like I could be doing something else, or I could be more productive. So, like, I can't relax. Like, used to, like, I remember being a kid and spending hours playing video games, and, like, it was fun. It was like an escape. And, like, now, weirdly, it gives me, like, fucking anxiety, because I'm like, oh, God, I should be doing something. I'm wasting my life. I'm going to die. Man. Like, I can't fucking enjoy it anymore.
Dude, same way is, man, take yesterday before I went down to cook pizzas for a little bit is, I had about an hour, and I needed to get online and, like, look for more grants and, you know, look for different money opportunities for Porch Fest. And I had been putting that off for a couple of days. It's like, which is a weird thing, and it almost goes back to, I guess, like high school or college days when it came to doing the work. Like, if an assignment was due, like, especially with, like, some of those 400-level classes to get my bachelor's, you would have a midterm and a final, and the final typically was always write, like, a 50-page paper with, like, 25 different exhortations, and, you know, it's a lot of research.
Jeez Louise.
And so, like, I would, like, day one, get the syllabus, And like by the end of that first week, I was already knocking on my professor's office door, and I was like, "Hey, I've thought about it. This is what I want to do my presentation on." And then, you know, go ahead and get it cleared, and like would have it done by the midterm, and then just I wouldn't even, you know, if I could get away with not even going to class anymore, I would do that.
Yeah.
But like I couldn't imagine, like, you know, other people in the class. I guess it's kind of like what it feels like now, but like just being 2 weeks out and that having that huge paper coming up and you haven't even thought about what you wanted to write about. Whew, I couldn't imagine doing that.
I do that with everything. Like I'm the opposite. I'll wait till the last minute and then like stay up for 2 days and figure it out. You know, which I guess is what I'm doing with this next record. But for real, like I'm really bad about homework. Like that's why I never went to college, because I was like, I don't have it in me to focus and do it.
Man, don't get me wrong. Back when I was in high school, man, especially like 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, those last 3 years, I wasn't doing anything, man. And just bare minimum. Wasn't even at class. I was in class the whatever that tardy marker was. That's where I was at. I was always right there.
Right.
And had no intention on going to college if my grandmother hadn't begged me to go. And she made a pretty good pitch. All your friends are at Shelton State. Why don't you go to Tuscaloosa? I was like, yeah, you got a point.
Yeah.
But then I remember at first like having to pick a major, just walking the damn halls and just looking through, and just because it was on the technical side, like, and they had a pretty good tech service, man, and they had like all the robotics and computer stuff.
Yeah.
So I went with that.
it's one of those things. Like I remember, like whenever they would have, I don't know if they call it like a career day or whatever. But, like, they had, like, Jeff State come in, since that was, like, our local community college. And they're like, look at all these courses you can take. I remember looking at, like, every single one and going, like,
nope.
What do I do? Like, how would I even be able to go about it, you know? Yeah.
I get that, man. Like,
oh, yeah, me? I can barely read computer engineering. That's what I should take.
Yeah, man. It's kind of the same. I remember, like, the guidance counselor, whenever you first start meeting, you know, until you're exiting high school. I remember meeting with mine, and we were still stuck at square one with, like, what do you want to do with your life? You know, what's your career? What are you interested in? And I just, like, I don't know. Nothing really appeals to me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Guitar's pretty cool. Video games are cool.
What?
Partying is cool. I was like, I don't think you can major in any of this kind of stuff. But I don't know. I guess I kind of wasted my life so far, huh?
I had a weird thing because like I worked a full time job and went to high school. So every time I met with the counselor, they're like, "What are you gonna do with your life?" I'm like, "I make more money than you." What do you mean? What am I gonna do with my life?
Yeah, what are you doing with your life, dude?
When are you gonna start in the factory, man? Yeah. Come on, you can work a rewinder.
Oh man, but yes. So we didn't even introduce the show, and we're 15 minutes in. Oh well.
Look, nobody knows who I am anyway. It's all right.
Welcome to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and Fire Camino is here if you haven't recognized the voice already. And we're here to talk about the new record.
Yes.
Having 15 minutes worth of the good old days.
Let's say, what do they call that in television? A cold open?
Yeah. The longest cold open. Like, we almost did a whole sitcom as a cold open.
Yeah, like we got it all the way to the first commercial.
Oh, at least no, dude. Like, we've had two commercial breaks.
New York City.
All right, so this episode is brought to you by Manscaped and Caldera Labs. You can save 20% off if you use the promo code Porch Talk at checkout on either of those sites. Thank you.
Now, what is Caldera Labs?
That is male skincare.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, it is, because, I mean, like, if they looked at me, they could tell that I would probably be the absolute worst person to talk to about that.
Truthfully, I need a product like that, because my face, as I've gotten older, is just disgusting and dried out all the time. It's always peeling and gross. I don't know if it's something I'm working with at work.
Probably. What? Probably.
You know.
Oh, man. Real talk, though. I mean, their stuff does work. They sent me, like, four different other products. They got one. It's for, like, the bags and just, like, your face. And it does tighten the skin back up.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you got, like, if you have hangover face, like, every day of your life, this might be able to help a little bit.
I definitely need something like that. Now, what was that promo code again?
It's Porch Talk. It'll be in the show description. I don't remember.
All
right. No, the for Caldera Lab, it's just Porch.
Mm.
The other one, Manscaped, is Porch Talk.
I see.
Yeah. And they've been sponsoring the show for like 2 or 3 years, and they don't really even get on my ass that I don't talk about them in the show. Much.
Really?
No. Oh. I think that's a weird, I don't want to say too much, but I'll say this is,
hey, as long as the checks keep clearing, it's all right.
Right. But it's, I think it's, it seems like it's one of those kind of, jobs to where people don't stay in one place for any amount of time.
Yeah.
Or you get rotated around, or like there's a lot of burnout in the industry because like you get a lot of different like reps that, you know, that are representing these companies and are looking for advertisement on podcasts and like, you know, but it's got to be, I'm sure it's a pretty interesting job. I'm sure you talk to a lot of interesting people like trying to get, you know, shows to sponsor it, but you send in like all your numbers. And then, like, they send you products, and then they send you, like, ways to talk about it. And then you have, like, a couple more emails with that rep, and then you kind of quit hearing about the guy. And then next thing you know, you get another email saying, hey, this is your new rep. So it's like, it seems like people move around a lot at those jobs.
Yeah.
I don't know. It wouldn't be a kind of field I'd like to work in. Because, like, where I'm at, it has kind of a high turnover rate. And, it kind of gets to a point to where I don't really know if I want to get invested, you know, like, even it's sad, but, like, even if I'm going to bother remembering your name or, you know, anything kind of personal about you, because you're probably only going to be here for a few months.
Right, yeah, because if it was always like, well, I just go to Terry, and Terry makes sure I'm taken care of, then you build a relationship, because Terry's been there for, I don't know, however many. It's like, do you have a local gas station that you go to?
Oh, yeah, dude, and that's a great example, because the owner's just sold, and so it's like starting over again.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, man. So, the Texaco right down the street from my house, you know it.
Yeah, I've walked to that one.
Oh, yeah, dude. So that was owned by a cat named Tony. And so probably about 4 or 5 months ago now, he went back to Egypt. He was Egyptian. And he went back to Egypt to get married. And and his family member or cousin, I don't know, took over the store for a while. And there was a Mexican, he's still there a little bit, but he just left there because of the new management. He got back into construction, but shout out Mingo if you're out there. But Mingo, the Mexican, he was always working there. And dude, like, so every morning when I went in there before work or when, you know, I'd go in there after work, he was always there. You know, you just got that relationship with your gas station worker.
Yeah, like if there's a gas station guy you go to every day, like, I mean, there's this dude down here at the Shell station that I'll go in there every morning. And shit, there'd be times we talk for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like the Mingo, he would always make like some Mexican sauces and like guacamole, and he would bring us some, and then when he'd give it to you, he would tell you some wild, like what I would consider to be like a wild pairing. Like he gave us some guacamole, and he was like, "Put it on fried catfish."
Really?
He's like, he said, "It slaps."
Huh. I'll try that out.
Yeah. So, yeah, cool dude. But he got back into construction.
This is the trouble with doing this stuff on the phone. You don't know when somebody's starting to talk.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, go ahead.
Thank God we're not doing this off Zoom, though.
Yeah, man.
My internet's been down for 2 days.
Oh, so at Webb's, to where we record the video for the Porch Talk episodes that are on YouTube.
Yeah.
His internet, he just got it redone. He's got like that the fiber out there at his place now.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, it's worse than whatever he had before. Like the video will lag out. And I was like, dude. They say you got fiber, but it sure don't seem like you got fiber.
This is the one thing about, like, when you live out like we do. Well, you don't really, because you're in Starkville, which I'd say is a pretty decent-sized city. But fucking, if you live out, like, whether it be Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, like, your options for internet are, like, nothing. Like, either you have Dish Network, which don't work at all, or you have Charter. Or what do y'all have, Bright House?
Dude, when I was in Kennedy, we had this internet salesman. Check this wild shit out. So you never went to the Porch Fest that were at my house, right?
Nope, I've never been to Kennedy.
I'll show you the house one day. But yeah, that house, dude just showed up to our area, and he had actually already serviced like people that me and Dad knew.
Yeah.
And he's like, call them and just ask them what they think. And we did. Right there on the spot with him listening on speakerphone. And they were like, yeah, dude came over, installed it in like an hour, hour and a half. You know, he's drilling holes through bricks and through your floor and running everything.
Yeah.
And hooks a satellite up on your house or property somewhere, and you have satellite internet. And it whooped the hell out of, I think at that time, the only thing offered in that area of Kennedy was, I think high speed.
Yeah.
And when I left Kennedy, my little area had just started, they had just started running the fiber optic lines.
Really?
But, you know.
Yeah, I wonder why we can't get satellite out here.
Yeah, it's weird, like. You probably don't have like a sleazeball who is running that satellite internet game. I mean, that dude was from Florida. And so like, yeah, he started that little satellite internet company in his little small town in Florida. And then he took it to the next small town. And then he worked us all the way up to Alabama, just going to small town, just offering it.
Bang.
So he probably just hadn't made it to your area.
See, I mean, that's the thing, too, is where it's like nowadays, like, there really is no purpose to have, like, besides sports, like, there's really no purpose to have, like, cable or, like, a home phone, because everyone's got a cell phone now, and, like, really all you need is internet, you know?
Yeah, it's true, and, yeah, especially, like, if you have a tablet, you practically have a 8-inch monitor, so you can pull up whatever you wanted to watch, and you can see it fine, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's a definite game changer, man. We had this cat Friday night play at Munson and Brothers. His name is Johnny Hollis. He's out of Starkville.
Yeah.
And this is the, I think, the second or third time that I had seen his set. And he's the kind of guy, man, like, he was playing a 2-hour show, and man, he's just got like an aura about him. Like, when he gets there, he gets set up, takes his shoes off. He plays barefooted. And just his song choice, man. He speeds everything up. So like, you'll hear like Blackbird by the Beatles, like practically double sped. Or he'll do like some Minute Work song, you know, and it'll be like double time. Almost to a point to where you recognize the song, but he's doing it so like uniquely that it almost feels like an original.
Right.
And he's just a very unique artist. And he played Tashimi by the Flaming Lips.
Yeah.
And he did a sped up version of that, dude, and it like drove me crazy. Like, I had gotten home from Starkville, and I texted him like right when I was starting to try to figure out what song that was. And I was like, dude, what was that? It had like a Japanese girl's name as the chorus, and said she works for the city and she's got to take vitamins because she's got to fight the robots. And he's like, yeah, it's the Flaming Lips. And Tashimi battles the evil robots. And I was like, yeah. And I hadn't thought about that song in forever, man.
That's a great record.
Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah. That's the one that's got Do You Realize on it, and there's another song on that record I really like.
Dude, yeah, Do You Realize is track 9. Good call.
Yeah, but that's a really good record.
Yeah, I've never really listened to the Flaming Lips a whole lot, but that's probably my favorite song, and it's if I'm not mistaken, it's a fairly different song than most of what they do.
Yeah, that whole record is a lot more like, because there's more acoustic stuff on it, and there's more just like, I don't know, I'd say more conventional, like straightforward on it. Whereas like some of their stuff, especially later stuff, is like way weirder and out there. And like, again, if that's your thing, because I know a lot of people like them, but like, it's just, it's not. Like, I remember they played Iron City one time. I had to work the show, and like, it was all right, but it wasn't for me, you know?
Right. Yeah, dude. I think back when, you know, late teens, early 20s, back when we used to travel and go to music festivals a lot, I want to say they were at a few of the music festivals that that we were at, but I remember them being slotted against somebody else that I would rather see.
Yeah.
And so I know I've been the same place as them 3 times, but I've never went to go see them live.
I hate to say it, but they feel very much like one of those bands where they're very gimmicky. Because they, like, the lead singer will come out in, like, a giant hamster ball and, like, roll around on top of the crowd. And then, like, there's all this, like, light show and confetti, and there's all these, like, dancers. And, like, it is, I guess, a really entertaining show. But, like, music-wise, like, not a lot's going on. I feel like they're just, I don't know, it's more theater than music.
Yeah.
Which, again, if that's what you're going to see, cool, fine. But, I don't know, I'd rather hear the band versus, like, see cool shit, you know?
I don't know, man. You kind of do gimmicks sometimes.
Oh, no, I do that entirely. You know, I mean, well, one of my favorite bands ever is Kiss, and their whole bit is that.
Yeah.
You know, but they do good music, too, you know?
Yeah.
So, you can't let gimmicks, like, they're fun, don't get me wrong, but you can't let those overshadow your songwriting. Because if you're doing that, then you might as well just do theater. There's no point to even being a musician.
That's a good point. You're a theater kid that just happens to front a band.
Right. You know, like,
I don't know, like, when it comes to rock and roll, though, is, you know, I can't think of the cat's name, but the front man for Cage the Elephant.
Oh, I can't think of his name either, but I know who you're talking
about. I want to say it, like, I don't know. I'm not even going to get into it because I'll probably be wrong. But anyway, I remember when they first surfaced, and like his energy and presence on stage, like, you know, you would have, and this is whether or not you give a shit about what they think, but you would have like the Rolling Stone or like even a Pitchfork, you know, these music critics, and they were saying like, this may be this generation's Mick Jagger, just from the aura that he projects when he's, you know, fronting the show.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen it. I will say that, dude, he's a hell of a front man. Shit, I mean, just think about, I don't know, any rock and roll band. It's always, you know, I think Sublime is curious because you have Bradley's son and it's no longer Rome fronting the band. And so that's very interesting. And so it's, you know, Sublime is Bradley's son, and then Bradley's brother is still in the band. So it's kind of wild.
But see, I don't think you necessarily have to stick with the original singer. Like, I always hate that where, like, when somebody will leave a band or somebody will die and they're like, oh, well, it's not the same band. It's like, I know there's certain bands where it's like, yeah, like, if Keith Richards died, would it really be the Rolling Stones? But, like, for some bands, it works. I mean, look at Black Sabbath. Ozzy left Black Sabbath, and, like, you gotta think, how would you ever replace Ozzy, you know?
Yeah.
And what'd they do? They went out and they got Dio, and it kicked ass.
Yeah, but I mean, like, pound for pound, like, frontmen, I mean, they're both of those dudes are just, like, legendary frontmen. I mean, think about it, like, in, like, Americana, like, rock country sense. Let's think about Drive-By Truckers for a minute.
Yeah.
Is, like, that might be an exception there to where you had Patterson Hood and Isbell and, golly, I'm blanking on the other guy's name.
Cooley.
Yeah, Cooley. Is, each of them had their own way around writing a song and performing the song. And it, if let's say Isbell was performing a Patterson Hood song, it just makes more sense if Patterson would be doing it, you know?
Right.
I think, and that might be the exception because, I mean, fuck, think about Journey. If you're, you know, if you're into that style of music, is what their front man, he died early and they found that guy who could sing exactly like him.
Yeah.
Or Alice in Chains, if you're in the grunge, like, you found out that the backbone and what really made Alice in Chains was Jeremy Cantrell. And, you know, Layne Staley was definitely iconic for his fronting, but once again, they found somebody that could kind of do that same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the band marched on.
And I hate it when people are like, oh, well, since this person's no longer there, it's not the same band. And it's like, well, who says it has to? Every time you make, like, a record or an album or whatever, like, that's where you... I always look at it like that's a snapshot of where you are, you know?
Sure. And,
like, yeah, bands are going to change over time. And, like the stuff that a band was doing in the 60s is not going to be anywhere near what they were doing in the 80s. You look at fucking Beggar's Banquet versus Tattoo You, it's still the Stones, but it's drastically different fucking band, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think about this, man, is Incubus is probably one of the best examples of that. Like, Chameleon, because each album they put out was significantly different in feeling and style and possibly even genre. And, you know, as somebody who was an Incubus fan, I think the last CD of theirs I bought was A Crow Left with a Murder. And nothing against, like, the direction and where they went. I'm not going to hate on them. It's just, like, that they left me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then... Yeah. Then I think about bands like Band of Horses, to where I have every single one of their records on vinyl. And, like,
right,
every one of the albums I can listen to front to back. It's just, that's just my band, you know?
Well, there are certain artists that are like that, where it's like every time they do it, it's going to be, it's kick ass, you know? But
yep.
Then, like...
Oh, no, don't get me wrong now. Like, I've heard tell, like, my buddy Lance, he used to work down at Munson's with us. He likes Banda horses, and he went and caught them in Birmingham, maybe 2, maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to go together, and for whatever reason, I didn't make it. And, we were talking about it the next day, and he's like, I know how much you love those guys, and it was probably better that you weren't there. He was like, Ben got so drunk that it wasn't a good show. And I was like, I probably would have liked that.
Yeah. Also, too, you can't judge a band on a bad show. I mean, the best bands on earth have bombed. I mean, it's just, that's part of it, you know?
We've had
friends. Go out there and kill it every time.
We've had friends who have made that mistake. You know, it may not be to the caliber of, let's say, a Hank Williams or, a Hank Williams Jr. to where he comes out and he's just too drunk to perform. A lot of those guys, Outlaw Country, that was kind of that was what you were wondering, when you were going to those shows, is like what kind of night you were about to have.
Are you kidding? Like, people do that with my shows, of where they're like, is he going to be able to even pull it off?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that happens on every single level. I've had friends of mine who are, I'm not going to shout them out, but they're on the up and up. You're going to see them on some of the biggest venues this year, and they're already on some fairly prominent festivals, and the U.S. tour is really coming together for them. But I remember, I remember 4 or 5 years ago when we first met, dude, I went and saw them a few times, and the front lady, man, there would be times where she got too fucked up to where she wasn't able to play her guitar.
Yeah.
And that was just part of it, and they eventually overcame it, and they had to pull back the leads a little bit, but hey, they got it together,
Yeah, that's just, and sadly, that was just what would you call that? I don't want to say a symptom, but a fucking, this is part of our industry. A lot of us are a little bit fucked up. That's kind of why we're musicians,
Yeah, sure.
We might have some of the substance abuse issues and stuff like that, but I don't know, there's a point here. I can't find it, but there is a point of where it's you hate to see it, but at the same time, sometimes that fuels it. I know, there's been shows that where, if I had been stone sober, I would not have put on as good of a show.
Yeah, I recently had Gabe Lee on the show, and he kind of alluded to that when it comes to performers and substance abuse. Is you have to remember is most people are anxious about public speaking or being up on stage in front of other people. The anxiety of it. You could be, 10, 15, 20 years into doing it, and it's still the snake that gets you,
Yeah.
And a lot of times what'll take that edge off is a shot of whiskey or a beer, and it just becomes a habit.
Right. And also, too, there's certain pitfalls of where, I didn't really mean to get that drunk, but then a girl's like, hey, buy your shot, and then you're trying to be flirty and whatever, and then before you know it, you've gotten way too drunk, and you're like, oh, fuck, I gotta perform, and there's just certain trappings that, or the opening band's like, hey, come have a beer with us, and you don't want to be a dick, but you're trying to, it's tricky, because it's like, you want to be Mr. Cool Guy,
Dude,
I will Mr. Rockstar, but it can get you bite your ass.
That is, it's Birmingham's a big place, and you got a lot of options, a lot of different venues that, certain people might only go to this venue, and then you go across town and you got a whole new flock of people. And so it may be a while since you've played in those pockets, but I'll never forget the first time that I played Natchez, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Dude, first time down there, and I'm playing a songwriter round. My buddy Gabriel Bass, he invited.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Let me down. And I remember I got there and I had a couple beers to like take the edge off. It's like a three and a half, maybe 4 hour drive from right here where I'm sitting.
Yeah.
And I think I was going on at like seven and I was done by eight. Cause like they were doing us in pairs and we were, you know, we'd trade songs for an hour. But, I had two beers and like, man, after the first song, like really hit it off with like the songwriters and the crowd. And next thing you know, I was just being fed beer. It ended up getting so I had to stay. I got so drunk I couldn't leave.
Well, that's the thing too, is like, you know, you love it when people do it.
I mean, yeah, that, like, I mean,
people
they
care about me, but also too, it's like I can only have so many shots of whiskey while I'm on stage. Like, don't keep, like, if you see somebody buy me a shot of whiskey, don't go, oh, well, he enjoys that, I should do the exact same thing 5 minutes later. Like, you're killing me.
Yeah. Yeah, at that point, you gotta get, like, man, just give me, like, just give me a Coke.
Right. Well, you can't say that in certain places. You say that at the Plaza, you're getting something else.
Whoa! Okay, yeah, let me just a ginger ale then.
Right, yeah, that one's safe.
Well, dude, let me see here. Da-da-da-da-da. Let's talk a little bit about another sniff for Mr. Snubnose.
All right. So, recently, I put out this record with Rip Request, and I did it completely because I wanted to, not because I had to. I've loved working with Brody. I've appreciated his patience. I've owed him a record for a long time now. It's like me and them met almost 2 years ago at this point, and like around that time is when like we came up with this deal for me to put out a record on his label, and well, their label, it's not his, they're they them, so I don't know, I'm terrible with that shit, but fucking they had this label, and we made this deal, and like I could never get it together, could never write something I was proud of or figure out recording, or eventually I was hung over one Sunday morning. I said, fuck it, I'm just going to record everything I have just in a day. Because I used to do this, you know who Daniel Johnson is?
No, I don't.
Ah, damn. Daniel Johnson was like this folk singer who, I don't know, but he would record all this stuff like in one day. Like he would just sit down and write all these songs and like record a whole record in one day. And like back in the day, it was all tape. So like whenever he recorded anything, he'd have to like sit and like record the whole thing through, instead of like where you could make copies, he'd have to re-record the album every time he wanted to make a copy of it. So like if I wanted to give you a copy, I'd have to play the whole album through a tape recorder and give you the copy. Then if Joe wanted a copy, I'd have to sit and record the album again. But
mercy.
It was that kind of style that I was like, I'm going to go after that, of where I'm like, what if I just recorded the whole thing, very just low budget, through a fucking tape recorder, try to do it all in one day. I recorded probably like 30 songs and in a day, and I went through and cut up what was on the tape and got what I thought was good and pieced it all together in Audacity, and that's the album.
That's a fun way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty much everything on the record's one take. So, like, there's some fuck-ups, and there's some where I slip, and, you know, but I don't know, I like that rough feel to it. Another record that really inspired the production of this one was, you ever listen to the Mountain Goats?
I have not, dude.
Damn. I just gotta send you a playlist of shit, man.
That's what's gonna have to happen, it sounds like.
They have this record called All Hell West Texas, which is recorded pretty much all on tape. And it was John Denton, as soon as he'd write the song, he would record it, which I think's probably the best way to do it, because I don't know, like, if you have this, but as a songwriter, like, normally that first initial time you play the song is probably the best, most pure that song will ever be.
Yeah, that's definitely true. But also, shit. I'd like to have those recordings. But I also like the progression of it. Like, I like asking people this, is like, when is a song finished? I think sometimes you have those lightning moments, like it was finished and it was at its best the first time it was played. But then you might have one that it ain't finished until you've played it a few times in front of a live audience and you tweaked it.
I don't think it's ever done. Because, like, there's still times where, like, I'll do something live where, like, I'll say something a little different, or I'll throw, I don't know, I may slow a part down, or I may, you know, and then I'm like, well, I'm going to start doing that now on, you know, because, like, that sounds good, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead, dude.
I think it's a living thing, a song.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I couldn't imagine, like, I don't know, I guess I would consider it a bigger body of work, but let's say you wrote a novel, and, you know, you go through your editing process, but, like, once it's published and it's printed, I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
Like,
done.
Yeah, that's definitely one of those examples of art to where when you put it out, it's done.
Right, yeah.
Whatever it is, it is. And it may not hit, your current generation, but if it lingers around long enough, it might hit a generation right on the nose later.
Which albums are kind of the same way when you get to a certain level, you know?
Yeah.
Like, me and you are blessed of not being known enough to where, like, you know, like, that, like, again, I love the record I just put out, but, like, because if I didn't like it, I wouldn't put it out, you know, because my name's still on, you know?
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be, like, career defining or whatever. When you get to a certain point, it's like, oh, fuck, you have to really think about, like, you know, what? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I really gotta make this one count.
I think about it like, especially like doing stuff like that. It's when you have people who have like a huge body of work. Let's say, I don't know. I think probably one of the best examples might be like a Ryan Adams, to where he's got an insane catalog of albums.
Right.
And I'm sure he's proud of each one in his own right. Like, you know, like you said, his name's under it. He wouldn't have put it out if he didn't like it. But I'm sure there's some that he's more proud of than others.
Yeah. And there's some that, like, you know, like, maybe at the time you loved it, and then you go back and you look on it and you go, oh, that was shit. Or vice versa. Like, you weren't that happy with it at the time, but, like, as time progresses, you go, actually, no, it's pretty good. You know.
I tell you, like, a cool example of that, dude, is I've been looking at the set list for some of the festivals and the tour that Band of Horses is doing this summer.
Yeah.
And they're not touring a record. Like, they've already toured the record. And so, right. Like, they're going back on every single album and they're picking, like, two, maybe three songs off of each record and playing it. And it's like, man, that's the show I want to see. And they're not just playing like the quote unquote hit off those records. Like they're playing the side B songs, the ones that, you know, like fans of the band know and love. It's just, you probably ain't had a chance to see this live yet.
Right. And so I appreciate, like, bands that do that, where it's like, you know, this was never a single, but clearly people like it enough.
They're playing a couple of songs, and I don't know. Apparently, they're not new songs. Like, they've been around for a while. I guess they just never recorded them.
Yeah.
But I saw a couple songs on the set list that I've only seen, like, live versions of. And, like, I went through, like, all their records today because I was curious. I was like, I don't have that song. And then I was like, oh, that could be a brand new song, or it could be, you know, something that was never recorded. And then I started going through the comments, and they was like, oh yeah, that song, glad it's back on the rotation. I wish they would record it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, do you ever have that where, like, cause I know I got songs that, like, I play live, but, like, I've never sat down and recorded, you know?
Oh, hell yeah, dude. I've got three in rotation right now. These are older songs. God, dude, these songs are like, some of them are 10, 15 years old. And I put them back in the rotation. And, you know, it's fresh for everybody. But, like, these were the songs I was playing when I was living down in Mobile. And was just going through my songbook. And I saw those and, like, started learning how to play them again. And I was like, you know what? I don't think these people have ever... I've ever heard this. It's not recorded. It's not on the internet anywhere.
Yeah.
Let's bring it back and see how it aged.
It was like on this record, like, there's a song on there called Rich Evans, which I wrote in, like, fucking middle school, high school. And, like, you know, I haven't played that song in years. Like, one of those songs I used to play at open mics, like, when I first started.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, hadn't really touched it because I felt like I wrote way better stuff, but I remember going back and playing it while I was recording this record. I'm like, that really ain't a bad song. Like, I just never put it out. You know, it's fun to play.
I still like playing the first song I ever wrote. The first song...
I don't think it's any great feat of songwriting, but I like playing it.
Yeah. You know? The first song I ever wrote is called Fractured, Light, and Discolored. And I really like the guitar to it. And, you know, the words are okay. I think I was 16 and I'd just come out of a breakup. And, you know, it's just one of those cheap moments to where you can push a song out.
Yeah.
And a song was born.
Well, also, too, like, here is, like, one thing that I've had to learn over time is, like, you know, you're not going to write a fucking hit every single time you write a song. Like, you know, sometimes, like, I wrote tons of stuff that will never see the light of day. I just had to get it out.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it'd be that way sometimes, man. Like, I was going through last night because I've been thinking about trying to put some recordings together.
Yeah.
I just connected with this guy on the property that he's staying at. There's a silo. It's just it's an old empty silo. And that was the first thing.
A corn silo?
Yes.
Oh.
And that was the first thing that I asked about when I went over there. I was like, dude. I was like, because he's like, another version of me to where, like, finds Joey and, like, just the simplest things, like, you could, like, see something off in the tree line or something and just get tickled about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And is incredibly like creative. And I was like, dude, have you ever recorded anything in that silo? He's like, oh yeah, dude, all the time. And I was like, man, you mind like next time I come out here if I bring my tape deck and like do a couple cassettes out here? He's like, go for it, dude.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I think definitely it'll be an interesting acoustic. It might not be anything that I put online, but it would definitely be something I would burn to a CD.
Yeah, I mean, just the amount of reverb would be fucking amazing.
Yeah, exactly. I think it. Hell, I might just throw it like on my Bandcamp or something. I probably wouldn't like. Hell, I might. I don't know. Put it on Spotify or whatever else. Who cares?
Yeah.
If it's cool, it's cool.
Well, to give you some inside baseball, like, I will eventually put another sniff for Mr. Snubnose on Spotify, and the only reason I'm holding off is because later this year, I'm recording a record with Hollinsworth.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, but that one, it's a lot more money and production and, like, you know, but the motherfucker of it is, like, I've met so many bands and people through playing shows and stuff, and they've all followed my Spotify. So the thing is, they'll get notified of the next release. So yeah. I want the next release to be the big, really polished record that I'm trying to promote. Not that I don't like another sniff from Mr. Snubnose, but that next one I'm really, really trying to push, you know, because I'm putting so much time and effort and, you know.
Man, I'll tell you this was really cool. I guess it was the first time I had played this. I played like a private party this past weekend.
Yeah.
And my buddies from Nashville were down, and they played their set, and they were taking their first break, and I walked up to the front man, and I was like, man, you mind if I borrow your band? I'd like to play a couple of my songs while you're on break. He's like, man, dude, go for it, dude. If they don't mind, I don't mind. I was like, cool. And, you know, they were all still just hanging around, still had their instruments on. I was like, y'all mind playing a couple songs with me? Very easy. It's all key of G. We're just gonna have a little fun.
Yeah.
Played two songs, stepped off, and pretty good crowd, dude. It was probably over 30 people. And you know, it's a party, and people were there for music. Like all the bands and everybody that he had hired to come out, that was part of coming to the party. It's like you're gonna have a real good night of music. And they picked up so many followers on the different, you know, Apple or Spotify, Amazon, yeah, whatever. And I just noticed it because that's been a week, and I get like a weekly update from one of them, and it was like picked up 7 new people, and I was like, that had to be that party.
Yeah,
I was like. Cause I mean that was the number one thing. Like right when I stepped off, it's like, have you got anything online? And I was like, I've got one song, and I got this ridiculous podcast that I do. You can check that out. But yeah, dude. So I definitely know what you mean. Like picking up people, you want to have a certain. Whatever you put out, you want it to be, I don't even know the word.
Well, you want it to do as best as you can.
Yeah.
Like, all those people that are like, oh, you don't want to sell out. And it's not that at all. It's just like, if you're doing art, you want as many people as possible to see that art.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the nature of it, you know. Yeah. Like, if I could, I would want every single person to hear what I do, you know, because then they know where they stand with it. If they never hear it, then how do you know if it's good or shit?
I'll tell you how. I recently noticed it on just like doing the video versions of the podcast. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, those YouTube metrics, from what I can tell, are just so much better for like the video or like whatever AI or analytic system that they use is just so much superior to everybody else is we noticed a spike on one of the episodes that we had done almost a month ago, and it's doing like leaps and bounds better than anything else on there, right?
Right.
And then I started looking at the analytics because we were talking about it in the group chat, and they were like, what did we do that was so special about this episode? I don't even remember it like just being that, you know, being that different from anything else that we do.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm looking at it now, but I was like, it's probably, it got shared by a lot of people. Like, somebody watched it and really enjoyed it, and they were, you know, they were sharing it on their social media, and they were telling their friends about it.
Right.
And that was exactly what happened. Like, they do a breakdown on, like, each video, and it kind of tells you, like, how things were found, whether it was just like it was in their algorithm, or it was suggested to them, or they're subscribed, or was it shared on social media? And like it was shared. And then you look at the numbers, which is probably true of like even just the audio podcast here, like this one is. The amount of success and ears that's going to fall on that show with finding people that have no idea who you are is whether someone will actually talk about it.
And as painful as it is, like, it's almost like you have to pester people. You don't have to, but it does help your numbers and your growth and stuff if you do just bug the shit out of people and it's like, hey, I put out a thing. Look at this, you know.
And then it's even stranger, like, if you have, like, the location of where it happened.
Oh, yeah, that always does better. I've noticed that even on, like, you know, there's little, like, it'll be, like, me playing a cover song or whatever that I put on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
If I put them in Pinson, Alabama, it will get way more views.
How about that? Yeah. That's nuts, ain't it?
Yep.
It's wacky, man. For whatever rhyme or reason, that's just what that's what those people are drawn to.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. But part of that, too, I think, is just, like, the algorithm and stuff of where it's like, oh, we know how to categorize this material or whatever so we can show it to people who may be interested.
That's a... That's a sucky thing about today, man. It's like, and I mean, some people pull it off just fine, but if you're trying to like be a go-getter, if you're not on social media and like posting that shit and like constantly like swimming that damn stream of algorithm, you can forget it.
Yeah.
Like, there's this, I think his name is Sean Mullis. And he's from, like, the UK. And he's got some kind of a disease. But, like, whenever his reels or shorts will come up on my Instagram, like, when I'm flipping through the reels, like,
yeah,
he's a singer-songwriter. And he's also got, like, some kind of a disorder or something. To where, like, he's got a big head.
Okay.
And, like, the comments, like, they're all, like, trolling and, like, making fun of him. And every now and then you'll like have somebody in the comments like taking up for the guy and all this, and it's probably about three quarters of hate and a quarter of love. And yeah. Then the other day we were watching Furiosa, that new Mad Max movie.
How is that, by the way?
It's fine. Like it's probably, I think like what really killed it for me was like the length of it. I thought it was too long.
Yeah.
Like, they could have compressed a lot of it, but it had plenty of action, and the story was fine. But that kid was in that movie.
No shit.
And, like, you know, he's working those algorithms, right? Because, like, I'm not one, like, that likes what he does. Nothing against what he does. It just, I'm not watching a 20-year-old kid sing, you know? That's just, I'm not into that.
Yeah.
And, like, he always ends up on the algorithm. And so, like, he knows what he's doing, and somehow he got found in Hollywood.
Yeah.
So, I mean, And that was fun because, like, me and Cole was watching that movie, and right when we saw, like, and he was painted up, you couldn't really tell it was the kid. And then, like, Cole brought it up. He's like, ain't that kid on social media, like the singer? And I was like, hold up, let me look it up. And pulled up IMDb, and sure as shit stinks, dude, it was that kid.
Damn.
I mean, and he's a very recognizable guy. Like, whatever disorder he has, like, there's no mistaking it's him. Don't nobody else look like him. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that ain't Hollywood special effects. I know that big head from anywhere.
Yeah, they didn't need a whole lot of effects. And I'm not being disrespectful toward the kid.
I think it was Andy Warhol that said, like, in the future, everyone will be famous for 15 minutes.
It's already happening, ain't it?
Yeah. I mean, truthfully, like, because of the way the internet is and stuff, like, you have, like, these little glimpses of stuff, which is good because there are bands and there are people that never would have been discovered if not for the internet. But at the same time, too, it's like, you know, everyone thinks they're, you know, I'm going to be the next Scarlett Johansson or I'm going to be the next Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, it's like, yeah, but statistically, probably not, you know.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, dude.
But that's why you can't do it for fame. You have to do it because you love doing it. Like, if you're doing it for, like, a monetary gain, or if you're doing it to be like, ooh, look at me, don't fucking do it.
Well, I think it's kind of beginning to come out a little bit. Like, I don't want to start tearing people apart, but there are YouTube channels dedicated to hating on, like, certain comedians and comedian podcasts.
Right.
And there is one fairly popular comedian right now. I mean, they're on tour right now. Matter of fact, they were the Fully Loaded tour, if that gives you enough of a hint. It was in Brandon, Mississippi last night. But there are several YouTube channels that make, you know, and they're taking snippets of his podcast. But, I mean, in this situation, it don't seem like context matters. But I think Salvos, he probably said it right. Said it best was he's the kid, the rich kid who has the Nintendo 64. And that's how he thinks he's going to get everybody to like him, rather than for who he is. Like, he's so obsessed with fame and, like, just doing cool things just in hopes that people like him instead of doing it for the art.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have that at any level, yeah. You know, where, yeah, whether it be, you know, someone that's on the Fully Loaded tour or fucking somebody at an open mic. Somebody thinks they're hot shit, you know.
Yeah.
Man, have you had these Bush Light peaches yet?
I have not, dude.
Holy shit, man. They're amazing. Did you have the apple ones when they did the apple?
I did not. Like, I remember, like, was it Bud Light that did, like, a Bud Light Orange or some stuff like that?
That was disgusting.
I guess that was probably the one that made me decide. I was like, okay, anytime, like, we're taking these domestic light beers and adding fruit to them, I'm just going to stay away from that.
No, fucking, I don't blame you. But these fucking, the Bush Light apples, really, that's the one. Like, those, because they taste like apple juice. Like, they're awesome.
That's kind of dangerous.
No, you go. Come on.
I said that, you know, that's kind of dangerous. That could turn into a challenge. You buy a 24-pack of them, and then you're not getting up till you've drank all 24.
Oh, no. Like, that's totally what that is. Like, they go, man. And same thing with these peaches. Like, the peaches are a little too sweet to just, like, kill a bunch of them. That's why, like, I got a good mix. I got some Keystones. I got the Bush Light peaches.
You got.
You want to know the secret to day drinking?
Dude, I know the secret, but you can share it.
No. I'm curious your secret.
Oh, my secret?
Yes.
Is day drinking, whether you're just hanging out on the porch, you're at the pool, you're doing a barbecue, is drink a light beer and follow up with water. Go beer, water, beer, water, beer, water.
See, so that's what I've been doing, but I've been doing LaCroix. This is original, just not flavored, just a sparkling water LaCroix. And the reason being is because when they're ice cold, they taste exactly like the Keystone. So you still have that kind of beer sensation.
Oh, check this out. It's like, so we've been getting these like really good non-alcoholic craft beer brands at Munson's.
Yeah.
One of them is Athletic, and I like IPAs. They do a hazy IPA, non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
And, dude, I swear, you could have, let's just say you had one muchacho from Good People.
Right.
And then you started drinking those non-alcoholics, that placebo. Because, I mean, it kind of does, like, it's an IPA, just, like, it's a beer that doesn't have hops in it, and it definitely tastes like that, but, like, your brain is fired up about it. It's like, oh, yeah, dude, slurp this bad boy down, give me another one.
Right, yeah, like, it's still, like, it's crazy, like, you don't realize how much of a mental thing it is until you do, like, the non-alcoholic Heineken's. I will kill a whole case of those, and then it's like, you know, it's doing nothing because it's not alcoholic beer, but, like, it's enough to, like, you can still enjoy yourself, but, like, stay relatively sober.
Right. Yeah, man. Shit. It was that same way about golf. Like, we used to, like, go in and play an 18 holes, and we would definitely be day drinking out there for that, and drank too many damn beers, it ruined the back nine, and then had to sit out in the parking lot because I couldn't drive for a while.
Yeah.
And that's when I learned about the water.
Yeah. But those LaCroix, man.
But the people that, like, can they drink liquor? I don't know how they do it.
I don't either, man. I just... You know, where you're drinking liquor all day.
Just, yeah. I remember, like, going on spring break, like, back in high school, and just being out on the beach drinking, like, mixed drinks. And I was like, I do one of these, and I don't need nothing else.
Well, my thing is the sugar. Like, that's what gets me with a lot of mixed drinks, is, like, because, like, the sugar is really what makes you feel like shit.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you can find a way... I've said this 100 times, and, like, I don't care if I make a dime off of it. I just want it to exist. I wish they made an alcoholic Gatorade.
They do.
Well, I mean, you could pour vodka in a Gatorade, I understand. But, like,
yeah.
You know? but if
anything is an alcoholic station, drink, like, if you try hard enough.
Gatorade with booze in it. Like, I would... that would be my drink of choice. Yeah. Have you just sweated your ass off in a factory for the past 12 hours? Well, we have the drink for you.
Hell yeah, dude. It is at it's that time of year, man, to where you get off work and that's the first thing that you're thinking about is just an ice cold beer.
Yeah,
dude, that's so... So nice. So nice. So refreshing.
Have I ever told you that I've Pavloved myself into fucking drinking warm beer?
Dude, I can do it too. It ain't no damn thing for me.
But, no, because I remember growing up and, like, being, like, 13, 14 years old and, like, you know, Jesse's brother, he was always older, and he'd buy us beer. And, like, he'd buy me, like, a case or two, and, like, I would stick it up under my bed, you know, hide it from my mom, whatever. So I just got so used to drinking warm beer that, like, again, who doesn't like a cold beer? But like, if somebody had to ask me a preference, like a like piss warm fucking Keystone, I will take any day of the week over like a normal like cold Bud Light, you know.
Yeah, I get that, dude. Yeah, it don't matter to me. If I could have it cold, I'd take it that way. But if it's room temperature, I can still get it.
Certain beers are better colder.
Yeah.
Like a Coors, like an ice cold, like where's you ever go where they got it on draft and there's a little bit of ice in it?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Just demolish that thing,
dude. Coors like cut the market on that. Like you remember, like on the bottles, like they. If the mountains are blue.
That's how stupid fucking most Americans are. Of instead of just touching the can and going like, oh, it's cold enough.
Yeah, that was
Coors Light had to make a damn where the mountains turn blue. Is that way you know it's cold?
Yeah, that's that same concept, dude.
People wonder why we're in the shape we're in as a country. It's like we're too dumb to know our beer's cold.
Oh man. Well dude, anything else to do? We're an hour and 15 in.
But it is weird. Like there's certain beers that like I don't know, I'd say are better warm. Like Milwaukee's Best. Milwaukee's Best is a great warm beer.
You know why that is? Because it sucks just as much cold.
Yeah, a little technical difficulties.
For a moment there, we were out. Dude, we're about an hour or 15 in. Anything else to do before we wrap it up?
Go listen to Another Sniff from Mr. Snubnose. You can find it on writrequest.bandcamp.com.
I'll put that in the show notes.
Sweet. It's a lot more stripped down. If you want just a basic, very bare bones Fire Camino, this is the record for you.
Right on, brother.
Alan, it's been a pleasure. Always awesome talking to you.
Yeah, dude. I think we had a fun one.
Yeah, this was good.
If you like drinking hot beer, this is a podcast for you. All right, dude.
If you've ever shotgunned a steel reserve, a warm steel reserve in the back of your friend's mom's Honda Civic.
That's oddly specific.
This podcast is for you.
Alright, dude, appreciate you, Josh.
Alright, love y'all. Take care.
Hey Josh, take a break from snorting coke off of your boyfriend's girlfriend's tits. Give me a call. Me and Juan are gonna go fuck some shit up. Sounds good.
Miami Dolphins only $300. How the hell did you not make that catch? My girlfriend left me cause I'm a degenerate. Maybe next time I'll meet someone who gets it. Oh, the money never makes anything better. It just gives you time to breathe. Mother says I shouldn't gamble, but everything in life feels like a risk to me. We stay up all night on Molly, listening to shitty EDM. My heart felt like it was gonna explode, but I couldn't wait to do it all again. Well, the drugs never make anything better. Well, actually, that one's kind of a lie. Wouldn't say that I'm addicted. I just love some things more than I love life. It's the hope that I hold on to. It's the hope that gets me through. If you're gonna be addicted to something, then hope's a pretty good thing to be addicted to. Yeah, hope's not that bad of a thing to be addicted to. owe me $300. I just hope they're paying up soon. This doesn't work out, I'm gonna run away to Arizona and find someone that I'll never wanna lose.